Welcome to SiriusXM Studios. I'm David Meltzer here at the Wynn in Las Vegas with one of my best friends in the world, Bucky O'Neill, and he's gracious enough to give me a little bit of time. I thought I'm going to call this segment the fly on the wall because a lot of times when you and I are talking, whether it be in a cab, a plane, an automobile, or on the beach, or on a firewalk, I'm always thinking, man, I wish I was recording this.
Yeah, totally.
And so one of the most unique experiences that I've had in my life, and I'm blessed to always seek experiences, was coming to the firewalk. And not just coming myself, but bringing my family with me on two different occasions. Because a lot of what you do, I have already exposure to. And not that I didn't grow immensely and learn things, but it was really awesome to see my friends and my family work through what I teach, which is the interference between them and their potential. And we talk about this all the time. Give me a little bit more insight, because we have never had this conversation about kind of the setup of, because it's, there's a setup and a conclusion to it beyond the activities. And I was hoping you could share, like, those people out there that think about, like, some people have said to me, that's not real. You didn't break a board with your mind, or you didn't walk on fire, or you didn't bend a rebar with the soft spot in your throat. Or your daughter who weighs 90 pounds didn't do it. I'll show you the bruise to prove it. Right? It's so cool. But what's the setup part of it?
Oh, man. It's 100% real. There are no gimmicks and there are no tricks. I think the thing about firewalking in general and that setup associated to it is, how do you give people a visceral experience of themselves in a way that's going to allow them to see themselves in a dialogue and a context that's beyond just explanation? Right? Like, we read books and we go to seminars and we listen to these people talk about, you know, accessing the greatest version of myself. We hear people talk about what it means to have a higher vibrational way of living, or to access a greater frequency, or a higher knowing of who I am in the world. And it's one thing to learn about it, and it's another thing to experience it in real time and to be in your own process of what's interfering, what's getting in the way. So the setup is an intelligent design. I call it the science of transformation, that is associated to, how do I reverse engineer this outcome? And how do I build experiences that are going to move through a gradient, that are going to give people different texture of who they are, and then allow them to be in that space of processing? And the firewalk is just a great example of that, because it is its own element. It is a master teacher. It is this space that you can connect to and listen to and learn from in a way that's very unique, but is very indigenous to who we are as human beings.
And the interrelativity of human beings to human beings, given that experience as well, which, when I mentioned being around my friends and family and knowing what I see in their potential and wanting to communicate, or as the word facilitate, to help them. And, you know, I worked through a lot of things during that as well, especially when it was my kids. And interesting enough, too, I also learned about my own marriage, because my wife was there and wasn't as aligned because she was on vacation and felt obligated and would participate in what she wanted to participate in. And I struggled, to be honest, with a few times. Like, I wanted my wife to be more involved in certain activities. And then I wanted to help my kids a lot. Which is a natural thing. You know that, but it was so cool. Because not only did you remind me, hey man, you know, let him do it, right? It's okay, you know, but also to see the growth in such a short amount of time. Do you struggle? You know, one of the things, we're close friends, so we know our own personal challenges that we have. We have these deep conversations, but a lot of times when you're such an extraordinary facilitator or in a position that we get in, people think your life's perfect. And I'm always trying to fight when I'm teaching something that I'm not completely doing myself. Healthy this. Then I'm 10 pounds overweight, or I'm talking about this great business relationship and I'm in a fight with my president, or right. Or it could be marriage or kids. But the human side for you, is there some sort of awareness to, while I'm teaching other people, it's okay that I'm not quite there yet?
Yeah. I mean, yes, and You know, there's a quote in the movie The Last Samurai, and he finishes this poem and he's talking about the cherry blossoms, and the last lines is like, they're all perfect. Right. So perfection is not this idea of, I think we have this ideal of perfection and what it means in our lives, mm-hmm. in our relationships, in our businesses, in our own personal development. And just consider that where you're at is perfect. Right. And our job is not to reach this outcome, but to be engaged in processes that pull us into a greater understanding of who we are in the world. So for me, I made a decision a long time ago. It was probably when I was 19 years old and I was in junior college and I didn't get to the college that I wanted to get to because of my grades. And I was teaching these programs with youth. And I said, hey, what would it be like in my life if I just applied the things that I knew? Instead of just talking about it, what if I just did that myself? And part of the reason why I love the firewalk and the personal development and the business development and the coaching and the entrepreneurship is because it's what I need the most, mm-hmm. right? And it's one of the things that I'm always saying is like the things that you teach are the things that you need the most. So I always put myself first. I look for that synchronistic balance of where I'm teaching but also receiving. Right. I talked about this a lot at the dinners, this idea of malama, right? To love in a way in which that love is being returned. So that's that giving and receiving for me. Like that's, for me, that's part of my practice. Doing that work in that way and facilitating and leading others in that way is healing for me. Right. So my work is happening simultaneously. So there is no incongruency. It's actually the most congruent I can be mm-hmm. is in those moments where I'm facilitating and I'm teaching. And yes, my practices at home and things like that are reflections of that. But for me, everything is process. Everything is reflection. And there's always progression. And in that progression, it's perfect.
One of the things we never talked about that I'm curious is religion.
Yeah.
So both of us are spiritual.
Yeah.
But I'm sure both of us come from a religious culture of some sort.
Yeah.
From our families.
Yeah.
Mine, a serious discipline of religion, still with my family, especially my brother, who is a well-known rabbi and very pragmatic and dogmatic in his spirituality.
Yeah.
I'm not. And I don't feel as if you're dogmatic in your spirituality.
No.
What is your perspective of religion in the realm of spirituality?
Yeah, I think religion can be really great.
Yeah.
I think also religion can be really terrible to people.
Separating.
Right, separating, dividing. You know, the word dogma, for me, you know, I grew up in an environment where I didn't necessarily fit in. Right. So my whole life, I mean, my mom's Japanese from Hawaii. My dad's African-American, Irish, Native American, Scottish. And I grew up in Southern California, La Costa, right? Encinitas. Right. So it was like in the 80s and 90s. So for me, I never fit into a box. And that just kind of became the foundation of my thinking, right? My mom's family came to Hawaii as Buddhist priests, took Hawaii. My dad's family they both went to Catholic school. And I grew up Christian, being in the United States and going to, you know, youth group and reading the Bible and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there was a point where I think the story is similar to you. I started studying different religions and different practices, mm-hmm. and I started to see more similarities than I did differences. And for me, it was the moment that I left the country and I shifted my paradigms and I realized, you know, there's people living all over the world in a way that's different, not because the world is different, but because their conditioning is different. They grew up with a different language, a different culture, a different food, a different way of being and interacting, and they're all humans. And I just got to a point where I understood that everybody's describing a similar thing. Similar events. If you look at, you know, I was living in Bali and I remember looking at the world calendar and the religious calendars. And it's so incredible to see the holidays of all the different religions that they line up within days of each other, mm-hmm. month after month after month, right? And all these stories, like, you know, I got into Buddhism and the mala beads, right? 108 beads on the mala beads. Prayer beads represents counting your prayers and a frequency that changes when you count to 108. Same thing is true for the rosary, right? So I started to see all these different similarities. And for me, you know, religion's there to help people. And I think if you're, I love religion from that context. If you're in a religion and it's helping people and it's allowing you to grow and to develop and to expand who you are, I think when it starts to limit you, and I think when it starts to make other people wrong and starts to create separation between you and humanity, there's a problem there.
It's funny because I see religion as a technology. Yeah. And Kabbalah actually defines itself as a technology. And you being in technology since 1992 and seeing how people in their perspective are applied to technologies. Let's use AI today.
Yeah.
Because for me, technology is always there to make humans more human.
Yes.
And whatever there is within that human being, it makes them more human.
Yeah.
Money will do the same thing.
Money will
do
the same
thing. Exactly. but intertwined in spirituality and religion is something that I am faith-based.
Yeah.
And it means so many things to so many different people.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure we ever talked about what faith means to you. One of the things I learned at the Firewalk, and it was a subtlety of what you said, and I'm sure very few people picked up on it, is you told the story about the predisposition of your father and your haircuts and things like that. And I still feel emotional when I'm talking about it
because
I never worked through the predisposition of my dad.
Yeah.
And when you talked about it, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like I see. And so I actually said faith is a predisposition for me.
Mm.
Surrendering is a predisposition. The disposition is intention.
Yeah.
To think, say, do, believe, and feel in this human experience. But there are these predispositions, genetic and energetic, that exist in our families and in ourselves. How is faith for you playing a role in the predisposition to your life and to your doing, saying, thinking, feeling?
Yeah. You know, for me, faith is a daily practice. It's something that's happening all the time. I think, you know, I believe that there's meaning and there's significance to why we are brought up in the ways that we're brought up and why we create the meanings that we've created and why we have the challenges and the skill sets that we have. And ultimately for me, it's about the service and the contribution of humanity. And for me, my greatest work in that context is to understand the balance between what has been conspired for me and how I play my role in that, in a way that's authentic in this moment. And a lot of that is, you know, I used to think that my life was a creation, that I'm going to create my life, that I'm going to build my life. I'm going to reverse engineer the things that I want. I'm going to create this better version of Bucky, the best version of Bucky. I'm going to be my best self based on the position of who I believe myself to be. And as I started on that road, I realized that a lot of that work was just, it was just more of the same. Same patterns, same interactions, same type of dynamics, same type of pain, same type of trauma, more of the same, because it was built on the same seed of who I believe myself to be. Mm. And faith for me is about understanding that there's a divine image of me that's looking to be expressed through me. And I am a shepherd of that energy. I'm a steward of that energy through my human experience. I'm a steward of that energy. And part of my human experience is about ushering and allowing that energy to work through me. And for me, that's faith, because it's invisible. The outcome is invisible. It's felt, it's sensed, but it's not seen until it's realized or until it's expressed. And that's a daily practice. That's a business practice. That's a relationship practice, right? So many things changing and trying to hold on to what I thought it was supposed to be. I thought my business was supposed to be this. I thought my family was supposed to be this. I thought my relationship and my marriages were supposed to be this.
Yeah.
Right? Holding on to that rather than allowing what's looking to be expressed. So for me, that's a daily practice, that faith. And faith for me, a higher resource, right? Some can call it God, some could call it nature, some could call it divine. For me, there's a frequency and there's a wisdom and a whispering in that frequency where it makes faith a little bit easier, right? Because there's a knowing there.
It resonates with me so much because my definition of genius, and that word gets labeled to certain people at certain times, and if ever it's labeled onto something I've said or something I've written or a video I've done, I always say it's just the expression of God.
Yeah,
that's my definition of it. And
yeah.
I love this divine expression that you're allowing to come through you for others in service of humanity is the best way that I can define it. I think that's where you and I really jibe, or our frequencies are. So there's just a feeling.
Yeah.
I could see you across a room.
Yeah.
And I see you before my eyes see you.
Totally.
Like I can be deep in this right here and I see you, and then you'll walk across the window at the wind.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know it because I know that's why you and I are going to do great things and great expressions to help other people express as well. I just want to say thank you. You push me, you inspire me. But also it's always nice to know that there's someone out there that, you know, has some inkling of understanding to improve you and to help you and support you.
I
always know that if I have any type of interference or confusion, 10 numbers away is my friend Bucky O'Neill, and he's just 10 numbers away for you too. Appreciate the fireside chat here at the Win. We'll do multiple pieces of content and
expressions
of God together. Just thank you again, Bucky O'Neill, everybody.